hope you're all really well. And I trust you've had an amazingly blessed week. How many of you have had a blessed week? God bless the rest of you. The Bible says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We don't have to beg God to bless us. We just have to live in the truth of that statement that God has blessed us. And I would say that if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we are blessed people. How many of you agree with that? Amen. Amen. Just want to remind us of one more thing as well that's happening. And this is going to take place, thank you, on next week. This is looking at the date. What date will next week be? The 6th, that's right. The 6th of February. Every 2 months, we run a little session that we call Integrate. And this is especially for anybody who would like to find out more about this wonderful church, the Nations. Particularly, maybe you'd like to find out how you can get involved. And for sure, we'll be giving you information about that. But also, you can find out about the vision and the purpose of the church. You meet some of the people as well that are involved in leadership. And that will take place next Sunday, straight after morning service. And there's a free lunch involved. Everybody said, okay, it almost worked. But what we need you to do, if you'd like to come to that, we need you to sign up so that we know how many we're catering for. So you can't kind of decide next Sunday, oh, I think I'll go to Integrate. You can, but there'll be no food there for you. Joke. But what we do need you to do is to go to information desk, sign up and say, I'd like to be there, and then we can cater for you. And we'd be really, really pleased to see you. Praise God. There's lots going on. There's no need for us to be sitting around doing nothing. Let's be busy for God as time ticks by. Amen. Before we get into God's word, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you so much that we are able to come and collectively worship you, to get into your presence, and to bring our praise and our worship to you, because, Lord God, you are worthy. And we thank you right now that we can open your word and that your Holy Spirit will teach us, not just intellectually, but will really reach down deep into our hearts and brand your word upon us, that we may be changed from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I trust that you've been able to collect your message notes on your way in. If you didn't, please just wave at us and some kind person will make sure that you've got a copy of those. If you have got Korean notes, then I did the translation this week. How about that? Isn't that impressive? I did use the internet though. Praise God for Korean online Bibles. And you can copy and paste. So some of it's on English, in English, and some of it is in Korean, and I hope it all makes sense. Praise God. If it doesn't, just trust the Holy Spirit, and I know that you'll forgive me. I would like to open up a subject for the next couple of weeks that we're together, and I've called this hungry, and I battle with this a little bit, thinking, is that a good title to use and to keep using that word kind of late morning, getting around to close to lunchtime? Hungry, you know, hungry, would I keep reminding you of maybe what's going on in your tummy? I know that one of the band members said to me this morning they missed out on breakfast, and I'll believe that that's because they were fasting, but maybe it wasn't. But this is what's going to be our topic for the next couple of 3 weeks. Hungry. Hungry. Are we a hungry people? And I'm not going to be talking about the physical hunger. I'm going to be talking about spiritual hunger. And I believe that this will dovetail beautifully into what God has been speaking to us through Pastor Jack over the last 3 weeks when he's been talking to us about true disciples. If you've missed any of those sessions, can I really recommend that you get onto our website, and there you can either listen to the sermon straight away, or you can download it as a podcast. Tremendous truths that we need to know and to be aware of concerning true disciples. And today we're going to open up this subject of being hungry, being spiritually hungry. And on your sermon notes, you'll see that there is this question at the top of your page. Does my life, not the person sitting next to you, not your husband or your wife or your parents, does my life prove that I am hungry for God, for his will, and for his word? Now, before you answer that question, before you write down, yes, of course, I want to qualify what hungry means. Because I'm sure if I was to come to each one of you personally this morning and say to you, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And you would say, yes, I do, Pastor John. Are you hungry for God? I think just about all of you would say, yes, I am. But before we answer that question this morning, we need to understand what it means to be hungry. Some of us maybe have felt real physical hunger. Maybe we have deliberately fasted before God and we start to miss our food. Maybe we've gone without one meal and we say, my, I am starving. It's not true. That's not real hunger. You need to visit some of the nations where there is a shortage of food to understand what real physical hunger is. And I would like us this morning to understand what real spiritual hunger is. And you'll find on your notes that there are 6 lines. And these are for you to write down the definition of hungry. Hungry means I want it more than anything else. I want God, I want God's will, and I want God's word. More than anything else in my life. Now stop and ask yourself this question. Am I hungry for God in that way? Am I so hungry for God and his will that I want him and it above and beyond anything else in my life? And please, don't just answer that on the basis of where you're sitting right now. Because right now it's relatively easy to say, yes, I want God more than anything. Because you're in amongst Christians and you've just been involved in an awesome praise and worship time. But think and answer honestly. In the darkest of my moments throughout the week, when my boss is shouting at me, when the students are not listening to me, when my car is broken down, when the bills are coming in and I have no money, is God what I want above everything else? Or are there other things that creep in? Are there other things that develop within us something of a hunger, something that we desire above and before God? The next qualification to hunger. Hungry means that I cannot survive without it. Can you go through a day? Can you survive 24 hours and have no contact, no fellowship, no communion, no thought, no consideration for God? Can you? If you can, then you're not hungry for him. because there are other things that are filling your life and sustaining you other than God. If you can survive a day without Him. Third thing, I will do whatever it takes to get it. Will I do whatever it takes me to find and to secure God's presence, God's word, and God's will? If necessary, will I stay up all night and seek God's face? Some of you are thinking, well, I will stay up all night and go on the internet and Facebook and Flickr and tweet, whatever else we do. Or I'll stay up all night and watch some movies or some sports. And sometimes we do that to satisfy what we feel is a need in us. But I want to say to you today, our needs must be met in God Almighty. Will we do whatever it takes? Are we hungry enough for God, His will and His word to do whatever it takes? Change our schedules. Cancel our vacation. Read the word of God instead of reading the news or a novel. To seek God's face until we find Him. Are we hungry enough to do that? This is what hungry means. Does this hunger consume me at all times? This desire, this hunger, this must have God, His presence, His will, and His word in every situation. Does it consume me? When I have those quiet moments away from work, away from what I need to give my attention to, does my mind go to the things of God, or do they go to the things of me? Do I find myself hungry for things other than God that satisfy me? Does God consume us totally? Will I use everything I have to obtain it? How hungry are we for God? Will we use every resource, everything at our disposal to secure God's presence in our lives? Or will we look to other things to bring that sense of satisfaction, that sense of peace, that sense maybe of even entertainment instead of the presence of God? And the last thing here, defining hunger. Is it the only thing that fully satisfies? Is the hunger that we have, that I have for God, so great, so all-consuming, so important to me, that for me to find God in my everyday life circumstances is the only thing that will satisfy me? Or are there other things that I look to gain that satisfaction? This, my friend, is what it means to be hungry. We will get up from our chairs at the end of this service. We will feel something of a twinge in our stomach that says, come on, it's time for food. And we'll say, I'm hungry. We may even say, I'm starving. But are we hungry for God in this way? Is the pursuit of God something that consumes us? Something that takes over? Something that fills our lives all of the time? Or has it become something of a part-time? Something that only we're interested in crisis moments, on Sunday mornings? How hungry are we for God? You know, as I've been studying these things, and I'll be honest with you on this, God has really challenged me. He's challenged me about what I'm hungry for, what things will satisfy, what I give my attention to, how much I really am seeking Him, His will, and His word. And maybe as we're looking at this definition of hungry, we may be asking ourselves, and you may be thinking, but Pastor John, this is extreme. Does God really expect us and want us to be all consumed in such a way that we are hungry for Him 24 hours of every single day? Well, I could give you my opinion, but I'm going to do better than that, and I'm going to give you God's opinion. Together, we're going to open up God's word, and we're going to explore what God says about the hunger that we should have for Him. And I want to start by going back to the Garden of Eden. And I want us to realize there that as God created Adam and Eve, in that perfect environment, God also placed within them this force called hunger. And you remember that God created man out of the dust of the earth. He created Eve from one of his ribs, one of Adam's ribs. And He placed them in a beautiful Garden of Eden. And He said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth and have dominion over it." God said, "You see all of these trees and plants that I've created? I've created them so that you can quench the hunger that you have for your physical bodies." And God gave to man the reign and the rulership of this earth. It was as though Adam was king and Eve was queen of this earth. And their soul became satisfied with the job that God gave them, which was to reign, to subdue, to have dominion over all this earth. And God satisfied their spiritual hunger in that He had face-to-face communion and relationship with them. You see, God placed within man a hunger. But so beautiful and so perfect is God's creation that He also gave to man the means by which that hunger can be satisfied. Such is the beauty of God. Now look at the verses here from Genesis chapter 3. And let's read those together. Hopefully they'll come up on the screen behind me. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent, Satan, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die.'" Listen to what Satan said. He said to Eve, "You will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Can you see what Satan is doing? Can you see what he is appealing to here within mankind? There is a God-given hunger within mankind to have fellowship with God. But Satan corrupts that hunger. He perverts it. And he says to Eve, "God is wrong. This is the truth. If you take of that fruit, You will become like him. You see, Satan had this hunger within him. We read of it in the book of Isaiah, how that he wanted to be equal with God. He said that he would raise his throne, that he would be, in fact, above God. This is that evil desire within Satan, which he is inflicting now upon woman. He appeals to a hunger that's within her and says, God didn't really mean that you would die. You're hungry, aren't you? You're hungry to become like God, aren't you? And when you take of that fruit, you will be just like him. And you will know good and evil. Now look what happens. The woman looks at the fruit of the tree. She had probably seen it many times. Many times, maybe every single day, and every time previously that she looked at it, she remembered what God had said. And she realized that the hunger she had could be met and was being met in that beautiful relationship that she had with God. But now she looks at that fruit differently, because an evil hunger has been stirred up on the inside of her. She looks at the tree. She sees that it was good for food. It was pleasing to the eye. It would satisfy her natural hunger. I don't understand this next bit, other than to say this, that Satan had sown such an evil, hungry desire within her that suddenly she looked at this fruit and it was desirable for gaining wisdom. Isn't it amazing when Satan tempts us with things that we know are bad for us, that we know we should not do, that suddenly there is something attractive about them that wasn't there? There is suddenly something about this temptation that appeals to us, that we can justify we need to do it. We should do it. And that same hunger had been stirred up in Eve. And the Bible says she took some of that fruit and she ate it and she gave it to her husband. And they both partook of it with their eyes fully open. My friends, I want us to see from these scriptures that this is the strategy of the evil one. That he feeds upon the hunger that we have. And he brings to us a corrupt and a perverted and a false way in which that hunger can be satisfied. And he leads us into a path of death and destruction. Immediately, Adam and Eve knew that they had sinned by disobeying God. They become aware of their nakedness, and the Bible says that they were shameful about it. Don't put your hands up, please. But how many of you have been drawn away by Satan, tempted by desires that he's been feeding you with? And the moment you step away from God and into sin, you become aware of that shame. You become aware of the glory of God that has left you. And you become sin conscious as you separate yourself from the perfect will of God. You see, Satan knows how we tick. He knows what draws us. He knows that within us there are desires and hungers that we have. And he draws us not to the will of God, but away from the will of God. My friends, how desperately important it is that we are constantly hungry for God himself. The Bible says that Satan was the most subtle, crafty of all the creatures that had been created. If you're honest with yourself right now, you will have to admit that those times when you allow your hunger to be drawn in an evil way, you have been falling prowl to the craftiness of Satan. His desire is to draw you away from your relationship, your fellowship with God, to sever that source of love, that source of security, that sense of well-being that is only found when we have relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say that we should fight to preserve and to protect, that our hunger is directed solely towards God, who will satisfy our every need. Are you hungry for God? The result of Satan's craftiness was that God and man were separated. God had to drive man from the Garden of Eden because there was also a tree there called the Tree of Life. And if in that fallen and sinful state, man had partaken of that Tree of Life, they would have remained forever in a sinful state. And God began to unfold his plan of salvation. God began through the human race to develop a strategy by which man could be reconnected to God, where that sin could be dealt with. And God began to speak to humanity and to instruct them. In fact, he began to command them and tell them how they should live. He gave them commands for living. And I want to take you now to the book of Deuteronomy. And I want you to read with me together what the Bible says is the singularly most important command that God has ever given to mankind. It's found in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God." And for the purpose of God teaching us about hunger this morning, when we read the word love, let's put the word hunger in. Hunger after the Lord your God. Desire him. Love him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. In other words, with every part of your being, love God. Now listen to me. This is not a suggestion from God. This is not even a request that God makes to us. My friends, this is a command of God to you and I. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. Now you say, wait just one moment, Pastor John. Can anybody command someone else to love them? Surely love has to do with feelings that we have towards another person. Emotions There has to be an attraction. There has to be something mutual between those two people for love to exist. It's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. You see, we really do not know what love is. We really do not know what love is. We have wrapped what we call love in sensual feelings and pleasures, in what we can gain from it, in what it, how it makes us feel. Love, my friend, is a choice. It's a decision that we make based on a command of God. Well, what about those feelings I have for my wife? They're a result of the choice and the decision that you've made. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. And we'll read this a little bit later. And everybody else in the same way. Or your neighbor as yourself. Even that is a command of God. When God gives a command, the people that he speaks it to are the ones that need to hear it, that need to listen to it and act upon it, because that command is given for their good, their benefit. And when God says, this is what I command you, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, it is not because he is some egocentric being that needs human beings to worship him. My friend, let me say it like this. God does not need us. He is totally self-sufficient. He is the Almighty One. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one that doesn't need us. When God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul and strength, he says that because we need to hear it. And because we need to obey it. But how many of us would have to admit that our lives are given to loving other things, other people, ourselves, before God? Some of you wives might be thinking, well, I want to be the person that my husband loves more than anybody else. Well, second place is not bad after God. I'm happy that my wife loves me second after God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, your soul, and your strength. This is how important God meant this when he said it. These commandments that I give to you are to be on your hearts, branded upon your heart so that you don't forget. You see, your mind forgets things, your heart doesn't. Impress them on your children. How many of you parents sit down with your children and you speak these commands to them? You say, son, my daughter, this is the greatest commandment, that you love the Lord your God with every single part of your being. And you serve him in the same way. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Does this form the center of your thoughts and your communications? How you can love God with every part of you? Is it the driving force behind your decisions and the choices that you make? Or is it the state of our bank account? Is it my popularity? Is it what people think about me? How do I make the decisions that I make in everyday life? Are they based upon my hunger for God and for his will and for his word? Or is there some other criteria? God says, wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you're talking to, remind each other about loving the Lord your God. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. I have to admit, I haven't written them on my door frame. In other words, wherever you go, hold this command in front of you. Whatever you're facing, whatever choices you need to make, your hunger for God, for His word and for His will must be paramount. When you consider, Lord God, who should I marry? Hunger after God's will. God, what would you have me to do with my spare time? Be hungry for God to speak to you. What should I do with my skills and my talents? Allow God to speak into your heart. Where should I work? Where should I live? Let God direct your feet and your paths. Be hungry for the will of God. God said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. My friend, this is true hunger for God. You say, Pastor John, no, that's extreme. That's Old Testament. God was speaking to the children of Israel. That is not what we have to pay attention to today, because Jesus has come in the place of the law. This is not a theology class, but that theology is wrong. Jesus said, I've not come to abolish or to get rid or to do away with the law, but I've come to fulfill it. And if ever there was anyone that was hungry for God, it was Jesus Christ. Every breath he took, every step he made, every decision was based upon one thing, that he would fulfill the will and the purposes of God. And I believe that should be our intent. That should be the level of our hunger. But you say this is an Old Testament command. Luke chapter 10. You can read similar accounts in Matthew 22 and Mark chapter 10 as well. But in Luke chapter 10 verse 25 it says, a certain lawyer arose to test or to tempt Jesus, saying, Teacher, what am I to do to inherit everlasting life? We might say, what have I got to do to be saved, to become a Christian, to be born again? Different terminology, same question. He said, what must I do? What am I to do if I want to inherit everlasting life? That is to partake of eternal salvation in Christ's kingdom. Now, what answer would you give him? Oh, you haven't got to hunger after God with all your heart, soul, and strength, because that's Old Testament. Let's see what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the man replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. In other words, you got to hunger after God completely. And you got to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what did Jesus do? Did Jesus correct him and say, well, now, my friend, that's Old Testament. But I've come to change everything. You don't have to love God in that way. You can just go to church and everything will be fine. You can just read your Bible and you'll be saved. You can just try to be a good person. You can just do some of the things that you read in the Old Testament. Did Jesus respond that way? The man said, this is what I think the Bible, the scriptures say, that I must love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength if I want to have eternal life. Did Jesus correct him? Did Jesus say, well, that's kind of an old-fashioned way of looking at it? That's a bit extreme. And God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and I, we've had a little talk about it. And we realize that there's not many people doing that. It's not a very popular teaching anymore. It's not really working. We're going to change things. Did Jesus respond that way? No. Jesus said to him, you're bang on. You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live, enjoy active, blessed, endless life in the kingdom of God. Sometimes, maybe someone asks us, how do I become a Christian? And I don't know what your answer would be. Maybe your answer would be based on your experience. And you might say, well, start coming to church. Start coming to the services. Maybe you'll say, well, start to read the Bible. Maybe you would say, well, you need to pray. I've got a real good prayer that you can pray. You pray after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I thank you that you died for me and I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Amen. There, now you're a Christian. I guarantee if you were to ask Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He would say to you, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. You see, we sometimes use this little phrase about becoming a Christian. I've given my life to Jesus. And what we've really done is we've made some kind of commitment to him. But let me come back to my initial question. Does my life prove that God means everything to me? If someone looks into my finances, does that prove that I'm hungry for God? Pastor Jenny said you can come 2 weeks' time and look at the books of this beautiful church. I guarantee that you will find the figures there will prove that those that are responsible for the finances here are hungry for God. You won't find invoices for flash cars, expensive jewelry. You'll find money that's gone to save souls and reach the unreached and preach the gospel and make it possible for people to connect and meet with God on a very real basis. But if someone looks at my bank account, my bank books, does that demonstrate that I'm hungry for God? What do the receipts say? If someone looks at my private time, those moments when no one else is around, and if someone had access to those times when you're sitting on your own and you're in front of your laptop screen and your fingers are tapping those keys, if someone sat beside you, what images would they see? Would those images prove that you're hungry for nothing else than God? Or would those images be satisfying some evil desire, some evil hunger? If somebody was able to open up your heart and identify your innermost feelings and thoughts towards other people, would they be able to prove that you're hungry for God? Would your heart be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? Would it be white? Would there be no malice, no envy, no jealousy, no lying? Would your heart prove that you're hungry for God? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind? What about your thoughts? What if every thought we had was displayed for people to see? Would it prove that we are hungry for God? Because a man went to Jesus one day and said, "Master, how can I become a Christian? How can I inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "You tell me." "Well, the scriptures say, love the Lord your God and be hungry for him with everything you've got." And Jesus said, "You're right. You're right." Have we been deceived? Have we been misled to think that a Christian is something other than someone who loves the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength? Have we responded to some other doctrine, some other gospel that says, "Oh, you can be a Christian, but you can also entertain these other things. It doesn't really matter if you've got these wrong thoughts, if you see a few wrong images. God knows your heart. God heard your prayer." Yes, but God says, "You shall love the Lord your God with everything that you have." Your passions, your dreams, your desires, your ambitions, the things that God has gifted you with. Are you hungry that God uses them in the way that he wants to use them? Or in the way that you want to see them used? Everything that God has given you and blessed you with, are you hungry that God is able to use them for his benefit and his glory? Or do I have little corners in my life that I'd rather not talk about? The promises of eternal life, and that doesn't just mean living forever. And I've been speaking to God over the last few days, because I've had to search my heart as well. And I've had to ask myself these questions too, about my hunger for God. And I've been asking God to show me what it's like when I hunger for you in this way. And to start with, God began to show me Jesus. He began to show me his precious Son. Not to condemn me, not to make me feel bad, but because he also said to me, "You're my Son." And God says to us today, "You're my Son, you're my daughter. And this is why I say to you, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul." Because when we do that, my friend, when we love God and hunger God and for God in that way, we start to see him for who he really is. We start to see life how it really is. We start to see the potential that God has placed in his church. We start to see what is possible. We start to dream and imagine what God could do through this surrendered soul. We start to think about those that have never heard about Jesus Christ, never been told of this instruction, this command of God. But they're worshipping what they don't know. They're worshipping false idols, false gods. And we don't have to go out of Korea to do that. There are people in your apartment block. There are people at your place of work who are worshipping gods that are not the true God. Their hunger is after things other than God Almighty. My friend, as we take on board this sobering command of God, may His Holy Spirit, God Himself, reveal to us the beauty and the power of His Word. And my prayer is this, that we don't pray, Lord, help me to feel like loving You. Help me to have those lovely, warm, glowy, tingly feelings so I can be hungry for You. My friend, that hunger needs to come 24 hours of every single day. That hunger needs to be a choice. That love needs to be a choice that you make. I will hunger after God above everything else. Until and unless I have Him, I am not satisfied. Everything that God has given me, I will use to attain God Himself, His will, and His Word for me. And this is the way that God has instructed us. This is the way that God has opened up before us, that we may know Him, that we may know His Word and His will for our lives. You know, I've had so many people over the years come to me and say to me, how do I know what God wants me to do? And we start to talk, and it's so clear that maybe just a very small percentage of that person's life has actually been given to God. The rest, they're holding on to themselves. They want to be in control. My friend, when we give our all to God, we start to see the plans that He has for our lives. We start to see the beauty that He wants to create within us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to be talking about how that hunger never leaves us, and yet Christ is the one that fully satisfies us. I really want to encourage you to take these scriptures. All you've got really here are scriptures. I want you to meditate on them. And as you read them again, ask yourself this question. Does my life prove that I'm hungry for God? If it doesn't, don't run away from God. Don't feel that you cannot have anything to do with Him, but rather fall on your knees and say, God, I'm so sorry that I haven't made You everything, that there have been other things in my life that I've hungered after. I can guarantee that those other areas that you've pursued will never fulfill, never satisfy, and they actually only ever bring you problems. But when we pursue God, when we're hungry for Him, that's when we're fully satisfied. Let's stand together, please. Father, we thank You for the clarity of Your Word. Father, You don't leave us guessing. Salvation is not a code that cannot be broken. It's not a mystery that cannot be found out. Father God, Your Word tells us so clearly. And Your command to us is to love You with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. In this moment of soberness, Lord God, speak to us by Your Spirit. Do not allow us to escape the strength of Your Word. May Your love be so committed towards us that these words resonate within us until we have acted upon them, until we have laid aside those things that have attracted us, and we turn our face fully to you until we make that choice to love you with everything that there is of us. Father, I thank you that you are waiting with arms wide open, that as we move towards you, so you embrace us and you fill us with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, our helper, our comforter. And you cause the eyes of our understanding to be opened, that we may see and know what is the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, the unsurpassing glory of your love towards us. That we may realize that the things that you have stored up for us are beyond our wildest imagination. Lord God, our choice right now is we stand before you and we choose to love you with every part of our being. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.